As many of you know, before I came to St. John's, I was the chaplain of Ashbury College here in Ottawa. 680 students in grades 4 to 12, and 120 staff. So you can appreciate that Ashbury College had a lost and found area. You can imagine all those children and teenagers in particular leaving their goods about the campus, let alone the visitors and the staff and those of us who were there regularly. And most places, like here at St. John's, you know, we have a shelf and a cupboard and maybe a box when it gets really bad, a little bit of room to store water bottles and scarves and mitts. At Ashbury, they had a whole room. Not a small room, not as big as perhaps one of our rooms here, but it was a substantial room. A room set out with shelves and baskets and bins and a closet to hang things in. And it had to be, because the amount of things that ended up in the lost and found room. I had a teenager come to me and ask, they were looking for something, and I didn't even know if there was a lost and found. And so you can imagine my surprise when one of the teachers took me to this amazing place. Now, there were the regular things: hats, mitts, sunglasses, some books, not as many as in my day, a few pieces of uniform, you know, the tie that they forgot to put back on or the socks they'd taken off before they slipped home for the end of the day. And so there were lots of those kinds of things. And to my astonishment, there were extremely expensive cell phones, brand new laptops, and iPads that had barely been broken out of the box. And I couldn't believe it. These things cost a lot of money, and you'd think a teenager without their phone is not possible. So how did it end up in the lost and found? I found out that this lost and found was emptied every month. Every month it would be emptied because it was too full. It would be donated to people who needed these things. I found out that hardly anyone ever came by to look for their lost items. Hardly anyone. It was the least busy place on the Ashbury campus. You know, in this day and age, it's a lot easier to say, oh, somebody took that. Or, I need a new one, Dad. It's a lot easier for us to buy something new than to actually visit the depths of the lost and found room to look for what one has lost. You see, when we lose something, looking takes honesty. We have to admit, first of all, that something has been lost indeed. Why would we be looking for it otherwise? And it's hard to admit sometimes that we have indeed misplaced, lost, put somewhere we can't remember, something that was important to us. Looking takes humility. Like the surprising collect this morning, God of the dirty hands. Looking means getting down and dirty on our hands and knees, like the woman in the gospel. She probably overturned every single bit of her place to look for that lost coin. You know, when we do spring cleaning, it's not pretty in there. It's not pretty under the couch. It's not pretty in the dark corners of our lives. And we get down and dirty when we're taking our humility to our knees. And looking takes relentless hard work to keep looking even when it seems hopeless. How many of you have misplaced your glasses? Right, a few, I can imagine. And it's even harder when you have misplaced your glasses and you're not wearing your glasses, so you can't see where your glasses are. It's relentless and it's hard work to try and figure out where something is. It's hard to keep looking when it seems hopeless. But the thing about the Ashbury College experience that struck me the most was that the fact that hardly anyone ever went to look for their things. meant that they never experienced the joy of finding them. You know what it's like when you find your glasses, or your cell phone, or something inside of you that was lost because of an experience, or an abuse, or a grief. When you finally find that piece of yourself again, how joyful it is, how wonderful it is to hold it and to experience once more. Because that's the stuff our lives are made of. Every summer, as many of you know, I go on a couple of kayak camping solo trips. And that is a way for me to take everything around me and just to put it into one place. A 17-foot kayak with me, and nothing on the decks. I clear the decks. Everything must go in the boat. If it doesn't go in the boat, it's not coming with me. And off I go. No cell service, no nothing. Just me, my boat, and what's in it. And when I'm out there, I return to myself in a way that I can't do anywhere else. I return to the fact that we must care for ourselves. We must feed ourselves, drink lots of water, get sleep, be careful about ourselves, not take risks that are too risky, and yet to take enough that we feel like we're alive. And in that time, it's like all the layers come off. And by the time I get back, I have found something. I have found who I really am without anything else except me and nature and God. And the stuff that's in my 17-foot kayak. But when I come back, it's hard. And often, that is the time in the summer when I enter into a time that I do not enjoy, because I am having to reintegrate the things that I have now found again in myself with my life. This year was a bit frightening. When I was out in Algonquin, about day three, I thought, what do I do again? Oh, I'm a priest, right. I need to remember that, that's important. Where do I belong? Gosh, I don't know. What's my parish again? Like, it was really bad. I was gone, I was totally gone. And it was frightening in a way. What are those things that make me who I am? And that didn't really come back, all of that, until last Sunday, when I walked in and I was here as the priest here, and I saw all of you and the people that were here last week, and went, right, this is part of who I am. This is where I belong. This is part of the joy of having cleaned everything out, gotten down and dirty, looked honestly, taken some humility, some hard work, and the joy of finding it all in the right place. So those questions of what do I do, who am I, where do I belong, those are ones that we often address when something is lost. And it's sure easier whenever we have a hole like that to fill it quickly with a new distraction or a new purchase or another experience or more work or perhaps some more potato chips. Whatever it is, it's easier for us to do that. And finding something doesn't happen all at once. There's joy, there's integration, because when something's lost, things have changed. Think of that shepherd who lost the sheep. Things changed. He went from being good at his job to perhaps being held to account by his manager. And he had 99 sheep that he had to leave on their own to go and find that one. It was so important to him. And when he got back, yes, he was excited, but something had been lost. Perhaps some of his naivete, perhaps some of his confidence. And the joy of finding that sheep had to be reintegrated, all of that, into that shepherd's life. John Osborne in the 90s sang a song, "What if God was one of us trying to make his way home?" I'd sing it, but you know I can't. That's us trying to find our way home, trying to find what we've lost, first of all, recognizing that we've done it, we've lost it. And Jeremiah is hard on us this morning. Jeremiah says, "You are foolish." And we're probably not foolish for losing things, because sometimes it's not even our fault, so to speak. But we are foolish if we don't look. If we don't ever enter those dark and dingy and dirty and hard work places to try and find what we're looking for. And perhaps we're foolish if we never actually put the effort in. Perhaps we're foolish if we don't search out God. Because the thing is, we have a relentless God, a relentless God who will push us to find ourselves, push us to look, push us to integrate, push us to rejoice whenever it all comes together. So I hope that you will also go into that lost and found room. For some of you, it might be a little shelf, and for some of you, it might be a big cupboard, and for some of you, it might be a whole building. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Have the courage to admit that you've lost something. Have the guts and the relentless hard work to search for it. Have the tenacity to find it. And have the amazing joy when you rediscover it. And may you be blessed in the integration of that into your lives. It's a full experience, and you can get out at any point. But I think if you don't experience the joy, you've missed out on a lot. So good luck in your searching and your finding. And yes, we do all lose it once in a while. Amen.